Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. It's laboratory time. Hope you're getting in the mood. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and I'm sorry I've been a couple of seconds late this evening because I could not get online. I'm telling you, modern technology. But I want to welcome all my listeners to the backyard. This is time for a weekly Labrish. We are here each week at 8 o'clock on a Wednesday where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And we have been doing a very interesting series on how deep and really, really diverse our culture really is and really supports our motto of out of many, one people. Because so far we have done the arrival of the Jews, the Africans, the Indians, the Chinese, the Lebanese, and the Irish. And tonight we conclude our series with the arrival of the Germans. Yes, the Germans. So I want to start off with an article by Dr. Rebecca Tortello, and she starts this article with a letter that was found even before the real documentation of the influx of Germans. So let me just share with you what she writes. And this is a quote from the letter that was found. As soon as we disembarked, a man who was on the shore came to welcome us in a most polished manner in the German language. He invited us to return home with him. A German in Jamaica? Yes, my dear child, there are Germans all over the world. She went on to add, the German who we met on shore was from Holston, a joiner by profession. He and his brother came to this country 17 years ago, skilled in the art of hardworking and thrifty, a moderate drinker of rum, as are many Englishmen and Germans here. He grew very rich, so rich, in fact, that now he owns 7 large houses in this city, as well as a workshop with more than 30 workmen. We asked for the lady of the house so that we may be able to pay our respects to her also, as we do in our country, but she didn't appear. Later we learned that the joiner and his brother each had a negress for a wife. Whom they had bought at the slave market. The white women of Europe are not worth much here. Instead of working, they become overly fond of luxury and spend about 12, it must have been pounds, it's ECUS, they're talking about German money, I suppose, of their husband's money per year. Therefore, those who do not wish to spend so much on a white woman prefer to buy a black one from Africa. Aren't they all such members of the human race as the European women? And of what importance is the color of their skin? And this I read from a letter that was found in a collection that was published, are you ready for this, listeners, in 1783. Oh, dear. I think my callers fell off. In 1783, and it was called A Christmas Present from Jamaica to the West Indies for a Child in Europe. So apparently there was it was translated from German to French and then to English. The writer notes the existence of a fellow countryman with a mixture of surprise and relief. What she may not have realized was that within 60 years, the Jamaican planter class would look to Germany as a source of estate labor. In the 1830s, following the abolition of slavery, planters all over the British West Indies began to scramble for laborers. In Jamaica, the belief that ex-slaves would leave the sugar-producing lowlands entirely and populate the mountainous interior was added cause for concern. In order to deny them that choice and keep them close to the sugar lands, the planters concocted a scheme where they would import Europeans to occupy the island's interior's hilly sections. Some believe this newfound competition would force the ex-slaves to work harder. So, and this is a quote that Dr. Tortella had from a publication by Hall, and she quotes the page. So I just thought I'd start the show with that because I thought this was very interesting. So although the actual bringing of the Germans started in 18-something, this letter that was found was published in 1783. So it's obvious that there were a few Germans there on their own before the real importation of the indentured ones started. And so this, as I said, was 1783 that this letter was dated. Now, I just want to mention one thing. This woman, whoever she was so surprised to see Germans in Jamaica. And she mentioned here, yes, my dear, there are Germans all over the world. But isn't that what Jamaicans are saying now? Yes, my dear, there are Jamaicans all over the world. I don't think there's any place you can go that if you seek hard enough, perhaps you don't even have to seek, you will find a Jamaican. So with that said, I thought about the similarities because, as humans, we just don't change much because this German woman was so surprised. And I know that I have heard of people being surprised, not necessarily Jamaicans, but other foreigners are surprised when they go to some remote part of the world. And yes, there is a Jamaican there. So let me get back. What I'd like to do now, I'd like to invite the listeners on the board to chime in whenever they are, and you do that by hitting 1 on your telephone, and that I will see a raised hand on my keyboard, and I know that you'd like to join the Labrish. So feel free, as always, to add your comments or your questions or just anything by hitting 1 on your telephone. And for the rest of the listeners listening online, if you want to interact, you'll have to call in because I'm not able to multitask. I can't chat with you online and control the board at the same time. But I'm getting better. I'll perhaps eventually be able to do that. And I am looking for a co-host that might be able to do that with me. So, again, let me just remind the listeners that you're listening to Blog Talk Radio, and this is The segment is Backyard Labrish, and we're here each week at 8 o'clock, where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica. And tonight's segment is on the arrival in Jamaica of the Germans. So I have told you a lot of times that most of the material that I use, the historic material, is put together by some wonderful historians, and they're all women at the moment. The article I read is online on Pieces of the Past, and they're articles by Dr. Rebecca Tortello. But I also have a wonderful book, which is the Encyclopedia of Jamaican Heritage, and it's by Olive Senior. And I just noticed, I shared with my a relative that this book was originally published in 2003. And by the way, it's available on Amazon.com. So you can go there and purchase the book. I think it's a marvelous book as a gift for a family with you know, any Jamaican heritage that might have an interest, because like the rest of the world, Jamaica is changing, and there are a lot of things that are not the same, and this book really tells you about, you know, the Jamaica from way back. So let me read some things from the Encyclopedia of Jamaican Heritage for you. And it would be listed alphabetically on the G, she has German heritage. The most visible evidence of the German heritage in Jamaica is the village of Seaford Town in Westmoreland Parish. That was settled by immigrants from northern Germany in 1835. Seaford Town was part of a larger effort to establish European settlements in Jamaica as freedom approached for the enslaved Africans. And it says, you can see in this book, she has articles on the Irish, the Portuguese, and the Scots. In all, over 1,500 Germans came and were settled into various parts of the island, including Lacovia, St. Anne's Bay, Dry Harbor Mountains, Montego Bay, and Black River. Spalding and the Clarendon Mountains. Place names that are the results of their presence include Berman Valley, New Brunswick, and Hessen Castle. There are also surnames such as Grossklop, and she has them all listed here, some I can't even pronounce. Eldmeyer, that one I'm familiar with. Stockhausen, Eberle, and lots of German names that I understand that people there still have some of these German names. The settlers were brought by several entrepreneurs, including John Myers of St. Anne. He was a pen keeper of German origin. In May of 1834, Myers brought 65 German immigrants composed of 13 families from Wessel, W-E-S-E-L. The idea was to establish a white laboring community of farmers and artists to provide the Negroes with an example of European industry and skill. But the 18 adult males included among their trades that of loom maker, two weavers of linen, and one of damask, a miner, and a coppersmith, and a gunsmith, and the rest being farmers. All the women were skilled spinners and knitters. Myers settled these Germans at Pleasant Mount and New Brunswick on condition that they would reimburse him for expenses incurred or work for 3 years without pay. In December of 1834, another group of 506 Germans arrived on a ship from the port of Bremen and were distributed over the western parish. Another entrepreneur was William Lemenus, L-E-M-E-N-I-U-S, also of German origin, who was commissioned by the Jamaican House of Assembly to engage German immigrants and to import between 800 in 1835, between 1835 and 1837, they were to become the Seaford Town settlers. Seaford Town was founded on 20 HA, I don't know what HA means, it must be a measurement, of Montpelier Mountain and named in honor of the donor of the land, Lord Seaford, who was owner of the Montpelier estate. When the first Germans arrived, lured by promises of land, work, and houses, they found instead a wilderness with only a few of the promised houses ready. For the first 18 months of their stay, they were provided with free rations, including a daily supply of rum. Many immigrated to the United States as soon as they could, but enough settlers remained in Jamaica's Germantown to leave their distinctive stamp to this day. Many of the people of the area are still blonde and blue-eyed, and the Roman Catholic faith of the original immigrants is still strong. The majority of the Seaford Town settlers were from the Westphalia, with 28 from Waldeck. Very few were accustomed to agricultural labor. Most were disbanded soldiers and craftsmen. Settlers far into the bush, settled far into the bush and left mainly on their own. The Germans were isolated by geography, culture, religion, language, and race. Most were Catholics, but they had no priest and did not until the late 1839. And a 28-year-old English-speaking priest named John Beirbusse, Barbus, I suppose that is pronounced, left Seaford Town and made his way across the island to Kingston to make contact with the Catholic Church there. It took time for a priest to be sent, and in the meantime, this young man had to function as a lay preacher. Now, I'm doing all this reading just to bring a little understanding of how difficult it must have been for these people just to exist. They were plucked from their country, lured by all these promises from the people who brought them there that they were going to get houses, land, whatever, and only to find that they were way out in the wilderness. They were totally separated from everybody else. They didn't speak the language. You can imagine how difficult it must have been for them. Now, besides all of these things, they were away from their form of worship. But it goes on here, and I really suggest that if you really want to understand a lot about the Jamaican culture, this is a marvelous book to have in your house. Now, of the actual German heritage, little remains except surnames, a few of the old houses, which display a distinctive architectural style, and some old folk customs, particularly those relating to the preparation of food. A historical museum is located in the Sacred Heart Catholic Church compound at Seaford Town. And at this time, I wondered if any of the listeners on the board have been to Seaford Town. I've never been there. I have no idea, even though my mother is from Westmoreland, and I've gone to Savalamar a lot of times and know some of the surrounding towns in Westmoreland, but not Seaford Town. I didn't even know that was in Westmoreland until I read this book. Although in Jamaica, the word jarman, J-A-R-M-A-N, really became synonymous to poor whites. White descendants of many of the German immigrants have become leading citizens in their community, serving as custos, becoming doctors, lawyers, scientists, businessmen, and politicians. Aside from the 19th century immigration, German missionaries were also in the island during the 18th century, attracted to the Moravian Church. Attached to the Moravian Church. Individual Germans also settled from time to time, some achieving prominence, such as Baron von Kettelhut, K-E-T-E-L-H-O-D-T, a naturalized British subject married to a Jamaican land-owning widow, who was custos of St. Thomas at the time of the Morant Bay Rebellion and among those killed. So we know now that there were Germans even before this idea of settling Germans there started. And let me go back to Dr. Tortella's Pieces of the Past. Bounded European Immigration. Known as the bounded European immigration, this particular practice commenced in May of 1834 when the arrival of 64 Germans after a owner of a coffee estate in St. George, now part of Portland.
You won.
Oh, dear. What's that? I don't know where that came back from, but we're having a little bad weather here all of a sudden, so I suppose my network thing is all popping up all over the place. I don't know what's going on here, but bear with me for a minute while I try to correct this. And in the meantime, I am going to play a little of Kevin's music for you so that I can get myself my internet thing is just popping all over. I don't know what's going on. But bear with me for 1 minute. Let me play some of this music, if I can, for you. I'm going to try to correct this. Oh, it's getting dark. So I'll be right back in a couple of seconds. Hanging in there with me. I think I got it straightened out. So let me go back to the article that is on the Pieces of the Past. It says here that the first land titles were handed out in 1850, and 3 acres to each member of the household. The town's first priest arrived in 1870, when the population had grown to close to 500. And an Austrian father, Tauer, I cannot pronounce some of these names, established a permanent mission and built a stone church that was destroyed by a hurricane in 1912. It had since been rebuilt. So there's a little more history about the Seaford Town settlement. Seaford Town was not the only place Germans settled, and so it is not the only place where light-eyed and blonde Jamaicans can be found. There is a German town in Trelawney, and over the years, Germans were also found in Alexandria, Christiana, Brownstown, Stewartown, and Ulster Spring. These communities seem to have had greater contact with neighboring towns, more contact than Seaford Town, which is probably why Seaford Town tends to be regarded as having the strongest German retention and is thus often referred to as if it were the only German town indeed. The term Seaford Town and German Town seem to be used interchangeable. Of course, there are also places often found in the island's hilliest section where names reflect the German influence, such as Manhez Gap, Clarendon, Charlotten, Barrow, Mount Houston, Berman Valley, New Brunswick, and Hessen Castle, among others. Today, some 160 German descendants remain in Seaford Town, but family names like Dunsinger Dick, Eisinger, Eisinger, and Volker, Volker, and Zimmerman present 100 years ago, have disappeared. Inbreeding among some with Jamaicans of African and Asian descendants occurred, leading to the creation of Germican, Germicans, as stated by one resident of Seaford Town. So what I think this article tells us is that there were pure Germans who lived there, and perhaps the descendant intermarried with Africans and Asians, but some of the surnames are still evident of the German descent. Now, descendants. Now, I met a young lady recently, just a couple of weeks ago, who tells me that her mother, who lives here in Atlanta, where I live, can trace some of her descendants to the immigrants from the original German immigrants. So I am finding that people, as they get older, are more interested in finding out about, you know, where they came from, their ancestors originally came from, just as I did as I got older. But when I was young and growing up, it really didn't make any difference to me. But I remembered when we were doing the segment on the Jewish immigrants, I related to the fact that there were some names that were found in a cemetery, I think it was in Spanish Town, that was just like my mother's name, N-U-N-E-S. So by saying that, I'm saying that this young lady that I met a couple of weeks ago said that she's sure that her mother would be quite interested in hearing something about her German ancestors, because she knew that, you know, part of her must have been her great-great-grandfather or great-great-grandmother told her that she was part German. So I find this very interesting. And that brings me to the point that I always try to leave for the listeners on the show, how important it is to tell a little about your story, regardless of what your story is. It is going to be important to the next generation, to your grandchildren, and that is one of the reasons I am doing this show, so that hopefully when my grandsons are able, or they might not be interested, but their children might be, who knows, they'll find out a little bit about how I grew up, because every now and then I talk about things that happened during my period, and I'm inviting the listeners on the board now, or those who might come back to visit the show later on, to know how important it is to leave your own history. And with the technology that we have nowadays, you know, that is so possible and feasible to leave something in cyberspace that cannot be destroyed. Because look what happened with the earthquake in Japan. You know, all of those people's history is destroyed, gone. Even if there are survivors, there's hardly anything left of their, you know, anything they had in their homes, their memories, their pictures. So the best place to leave something that cannot be destroyed, which is your voice and your information, is in cyberspace. So if there's any listeners on the board that would like to leave us some information about something that we have discussed, about something that they can relate to, please hit 1 on your telephone so that you can join the Labrish, because we still have some time remaining. So if you'd like to chime in, just let me know so I can open up the mic. So I see we have callers from 973-718-404-305. So let me know if you would like to interact with me before the show ends, because we have some more time on the board, so I'd like to have you interact with me. So open up, put up your hands so that I can open up the mic. The weather is getting bad here, but we're still broadcasting. Oh, I see 718 wants to say hello.
Hi. So,
who do I have? Let the world know who you are.
Lay from the Bronx.
Home of the where? Who?
Oh, yes. The home of the New York Yankees.
Okay. Hello, Mr. Lay from the Bronx. How are you today?
Well, I'm here. Let's put it that way.
What is the weather like in New York?
Nasty.
Oh, dear. We had a beautiful day in the south.
You can send some of that up here.
Oh, wish I could. I'll fax it to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, as I was listening to the conclusion of this segment, it seems like the Germans had a little different motivation than did the previous people coming from different parts of the world. And the reason I say that is that the Germans were, although they were brought as indentured servants as well, they were very quickly given a slightly different nomenclature, in
mm-hmm.
that the what you call them, landlords, are the people owning the estates, thought that they would be, would serve a different purpose, so to speak, because
right.
they had the European look.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I think I read someplace that it soon became evident that there was a little bit of clashing with the natives after a while.
Uh-huh.
Because they were getting a very quick status, you know.
Preferential
always,
treatment, as we
always,
would
say. That always causes disruptions.
Definitely.
Yeah, so I just thought that's my observation.
Of course. But isn't that something how, I mean, the people can be put against other people unknowingly?
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, because they were lured there with yeah. promises. You know, I'm just talking about human behavior now. Can you imagine you are in a country, any country? The Africans weren't lured. They were taken against
yeah.
their will, at least some of them. Some of them were brought there because they were prisoners of war by the Spanish people before the English came. They were the first Africans were actually prisoners of war that were taken from West Africa.
Yeah.
And but they were servants and horsemen and herders and cattlemen. They, you know, they were cowboys. You remember we talked about the first ones.
Yeah.
Before the slave trade actually started. So there were some free African people from Africa. They weren't really, I mean, they were running around free is what I'm trying to say. Not that they were free, but
right.
they were cowboys. How
yeah.
cool is that? Just a minute. I have to drink something. I'm getting a low. But tell us a little bit from your perspective, Lay, while I drink something to get my blood sugar up.
Yeah, well, I, you know, even back in my my parochial school, of course, we didn't call it parochial school then. We called it Catholic school when we started out growing up, and we had. I can remember about four Germans right
mm-hmm.
there in the school, but of course, that didn't have any significance to me at the time, except that they were a different shade of color.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I couldn't distinguish them then from a Jew except for the name.
Right, right.
But, they were, you know, very, very friendly people, and I remember further back in, I guess it was 1945, nearing the end of the war, that we had German people as prisoners of war, because don't forget, because of the World War, they were our enemy, and
mm-hmm.
we were British at the time.
Right, right.
So
and
people,
I remember up there were some German people that were prisoners of war at Upper Camp.
That's where the compound was.
Right, right.
And, you know, it's just beginning to get added significance at this late stage based on the kind of dialogue we've been having on the different peoples in Jamaica.
Right. But those prisoners of war that were at UPA camp went back to Germany, I think, didn't they?
Yes, some of them did. Because I guess at that point they felt pressure to go back to their country. Some of them were wives of German servicemen.
I got you. Mhm.
I imagine, and I can't verify this, that some of them were rounded up from those locations, Seaford Town and other locations that they were, could have been identified as Germans, and put into the camp. And maybe those remained because they were actually Jamaicans, German Jamaicans.
So, definitely.
You know, it's a very interesting evolution, the kinds of people, one out of many,
that
we observe.
And, of course, you can imagine, just like how there was an article some time ago about how the Koreans, the Japanese, I mean,
yeah,
that were living in America at the time of the war.
Yeah.
How they were rounded up.
Yes, sure.
And
yeah,
actually felt quite uncomfortable.
Of course.
You can imagine. But on the other hand, isn't it something how people can be unjust to one another? Because these people were lured from Germany to come to Jamaica and made all sort of promises were made to them. In the meantime, when they arrived, it was totally different from what they thought or what they were promised. They were promised houses would be provided. There was no houses provided. They were put in the wilderness.
Yeah, well, there was no so-called infrastructure for them.
Right. Just like, remember when the Irish, we did how the Irish arrived, and they talked about them when they went to, I think it was Barbados.
Yeah.
They had to live in houses made of sticks. Remember that one?
Yeah.
And they were coming from Ireland, where the weather was different. They were in Barbados, and all they were given was drawers. Remember, they were working in their drawers. That was so funny.
Yeah.
Not funny in the true sense.
They didn't have Bermuda shorts then, I don't think.
Right. Well, I suppose not. But on the other hand, they, instead of having a house, they were put in the wilderness to live.
Yeah.
So it was quite rough.
Yeah.
But
life,
of course,
life must have been difficult for them.
Right. But they survived. That is the whole thing. No matter how difficult things are, the human spirit is always stronger, and there is always stories of people still overcoming, no matter how hard things become. So regardless of the obstacles, we are able as humans to overcome, and no matter how difficult things are, if while there is a will, there is a way.
And it would seem that if you are looking for survivors of all of these peoples, and it's interesting that the Indians and the Chinese assimilated so much on the island, and they're still there. You know?
Right. And they're still, Olive Senior says, there are still people that have distinctive features in Irish Town and German Town and Seaford Town, still, that you can still see that they're descendants of
Caucasian people.
Caucasians, you know, they're still, they might be brown,
yeah,
but they have blue eyes, and one eye blue, one eye green, gray eyes, and but they might have kinky hair, or vice versa.
Yeah, well, you know, the genes are there, and looking at it from a biological point of view, your ancestors' genes, you inherit them one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really unusual. Yeah.
But
so
the beauty of it all is that out of all of these different races, we are all Jamaicans. What
yeah.
a one! I don't think, I don't know about many of the other islands, but I don't think that a lot, that most Jamaicans realized, I know I didn't, that the so many races, different people came from different countries so long ago. When
well,
we were growing
you know,
up,
that's the history, and you could argue that a lot of this history was maybe not recorded on the island, because I'm sure the colonialists, the people who ran these islands, had to make reports and send to the mother country.
Right.
Yeah, so you if you went digging in the right places in the UK, you probably would find and then be able to piece together certain things that occurred.
Well, that is what has been done, really,
yeah.
Especially by Dr. Joy Lumsden. She's still
yeah.
piecing things together.
Yeah, as opposed to, trying to find all the answers in Jamaica itself.
Oh, yes. You perhaps won't find it there, because even both Dr. Tortello and Olive Senior, they're taking pieces from here and pieces from there,
yeah.
different documentation
right.
to come up with, you know, a whole piece if they can. So I just find it very, very fascinating, because I didn't even know that there were so many Africans on the island prior to the British getting there, and they had been there for a long time.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about the Spanish having these cowboys and servants and all of that for almost 100 years before the British came.
Right.
I didn't even know that there was such a difference in that. Did you? Until we did the history.
Well, more or less. I mean, the Spanish came and did what they had to do, but they were still they still had slaves or workers to work the land.
Right, but it wasn't like plantations because they didn't have any bananas and sugar. They didn't have sugar cane.
Right. Well, the if you want to say the stratification of these different as we know, sugar was king when the British took over and they exploited this.
Right. Well, actually, the Spanish didn't have any plantations at all.
Right.
They were more into...
They didn't see the value of all of this because didn't have to give it up so easy.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, of course, they were no match for the British at the time. That's why they were totally... Right, routed. So it's just, I just find it all very, very fascinating. But there's so much, there is really so much accomplishment that can be celebrated with in spite of all of the difficulties for the individual races that came there, you know, whether they came of their free will or as indentured servants or as slaves, but just so much as accomplishment together as a country that it is just amazing, and everybody should be celebrating it, because as Jamaicans there is so much to celebrate. I know there's quite a lot of difficulty like the rest of the world and a lot of things that are not good, but on the good part there is so much to celebrate. We are just wonderful.
If you think of it, Jamaica was always looked at by the other islands as, they looked at Jamaica more of as an elite country.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is that a lot of the smaller islands felt, as we would say, one way. When dealing with Jamaicans. I mean, mm-hmm. I found this out by mingling with some of the students there when I was a youngster going to college, students from other islands. Didn't know that Jamaicans were so regular, is what you would get all the time.
Ah.
They expected you to be pompous and, you know, whatever.
Right, gotcha.
And... politically, when it came time, when independence was in sight, and a lot of the people resisted, the people from all the islands sort of was resisting the idea of independence. They, if you recall, they wanted to form a federation of the
West Indies. The
other islands, and that was a good idea, but it was just not workable because of everybody wanted a major piece of the pie, and Jamaicans wouldn't have any part of it. So
I was not too involved in what was going on prior to the independence, anyhow, but. In 2 years, it's going to be 50 years since since Jamaica has been independent. So it's quite interesting. But, you know, I really don't know that much about what happened prior to independence and since the independence itself. And because there's quite a bit of documentation, I think, since independence, and especially since all of this technology, there's several ways, there are tons of websites right now that are involved with, you know, the current things that are happening in Jamaica, the politics and the economics and things like that.
Yeah.
But I thought that for me, and I know that all of that is being preserved because it's all online. But what I think that was lacking and why I came up with the idea of Backyard Library would concentrate on the celebrate, enlighten, and preserve is because I know for me, I felt that there was so much that I didn't know about all the things some of the things we've been talking about. And there was not any one place that you could go and find a lot of this information that, you know, we have been going over.
Yeah.
So it has been really quite enlightening for me, and I hope that the listeners on the board that have been with us each week and those who come by later on will find it as enlightening and will really be feel good about celebrating all the wonderful history that has been preserved for us and is available. And I am hoping that will be accessed by the current and future generation, because it is history that, as I say, we can feel good about. You know, it is what it is. So the thing about it is to find whatever it is, to find some good in it, because by finding some good in whatever we discover, we can emulate that and make it better, you know, just improve with our deeds, our thoughts, our ideas, because that is what we want for the future. Always getting better at what we do and how we do it and how we come together to make things better. So with that said, Mr. Lay, next week we have concluded this series of how they came and why they came and when they came, all the different ethnic backgrounds that came together to give us our beautiful motto of out of many, one people. And the people brought their customs and ideas from different parts of the world to make us just very unique and special. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yes. And I'm sure if people have any ideas about other aspects of what makes us who we are, they should step forward and, you know, have a little discussion in the backyard about it.
Yes, we'd love to invite our guests to come and share with us in the backyard, because our objective is to elaborate, is to share ideas and to...
Just a simple thing, as I've been visiting the doctor very often these days, and I find that they're, both the doctor and the dentist, are fascinated with soccer. And,
really?
And I'm finding that I have to, you know, explain the game to a lot of them. And I thought this was unusual that, you know, somebody from Jamaica is is stepping up and giving this expertise. Well, of course, soccer is played almost in every other country in the world, and of course, Jamaica.
Right.
And you know, it's another thing that soccer and other sports events, we can stand up, and we have in the past stood up with everybody else in the world in competition. So even on the playing field, we are good.
Right. Well, we got parts of the good, hopefully, and from every different part of the world that we came from, the various parts. But right down to it, we're out of many, one people. So with that said, Lay, I thank you and appreciate you for your contribution as usual. And I hope that you will continue to support us. And it's always good to have you on the show.
Very good. So I'd like to say good night to you and your listeners, even though they didn't hit one and chat with us.
Right. Sometimes they don't want to. They just want to listen, I guess. But I want to thank them for being here anyhow. And those listening online and those who might come by later, and to ask them to visit our website, which is www.backyardlabrish.com. Leave us a comment, tell us what you'd like us to labrish about, and come join us in the backyard. We're here just to relax and take a virtual trip to Jamaica, sit in our favorite chair, just like we would when we were teenagers, and just chill, let the rest of the world go by, feel the trade winds caress your face as you sip your favorite drink and relax in your favorite chair and just chill. So with that said, I'd like to invite you to come back next week where we will be celebrating, enlightening, and preserving the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. To join me in that. So let's do it one more time. Where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love.
Good night.
Good night. See you next week. And as I say always, make it a great week. Bye.